Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Friday, March 17, 2023. South Sudan's ministers oppose UN's preconditions for helping the country with general elections.
Election is not an event, it's a process, and it will require people to support us. Definitely, we need the support. But it will be difficult for us to accept conditions, you know, preconditions. If you don't do this, then we'll not give you this.
And a South Sudanese analyst says the move to open a case against seven South Sudanese officials at the ICC is long overdue.
I think this story that is developing of a group investigating and potentially tabling a case against some individuals in the ICC is something that we all expected.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The government of South Sudan is protesting against conditions the United Nations Security Council has attached to any possible assistance ahead of the country's elections set for the end of next year. South Sudan's acting Minister for Foreign Affairs says the country needs regional and international support to hold elections without preconditions. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
The UN Security Council says it will provide electoral assistance to South Sudan if the government creates a conducive environment for the conduct of the elections by preventing further escalation of violence, ensuring constitutional drafting and a review process are carried out, and providing civic space for the conduct of free and fair elections. The Security Council outlined the preconditions the same day it extended the mandate of its peacekeeping mission in South Sudan, or ANMIS. The Security Council says the elections should be viewed as a phased approach, and that ANMIS should focus in the near term on key conditions before providing any support for the exercise. Acting Foreign Affairs Minister Deng Dao Deng says it's unfortunate the Security Council is attaching preconditions to their support for holding elections.
Election is not an event, it's a process, and it will require people to support us. Definitely, we need the support. But it will be difficult for us to accept conditions, you know, preconditions. If you don't do this, then we'll not give you this.
South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makwe says, despite the preconditions set out by the Security Council, the conduct of the country's elections does not depend on the UN.
We are already determined to run the elections, and it is not for them. It is not they who will determine as to whether we will run the elections or not.
We are not going to run the elections with the UN or with any other person. We will do it on our own. And if anybody wants to intervene and assist us, is welcome. But it is not the condition that we should do this in order for the UN to support us. That is not the case. We will not run the elections based on the support that we'll be getting from them.
On Wednesday, when the Security Council extended the ANMIS mandate, the Council said it wants the Kiir administration to do all it can to provide a favorable environment for the conduct of a free and fair elections. It also wants the Kiir administration to make immediate progress on key milestones toward peaceful elections, including adopting a constitution and required legislations, as well as effective implementation of security arrangements as stipulated in the 2018 revitalized peace deal. Deng says the government is committed to conducting elections by the end of the transitional period, which has been moved back to the end of 2024, but preconditions on aid may pose a challenge to the process.
Definitely, the issue of space is one of the pillars of democracy. So we cannot restrict people to talk, not to travel. Political Parties Act has a very clear mechanism on how political parties can be able to undertake
can conduct themselves.
The Council's resolution reaffirmed the UNMISS role of supporting implementation of the peace agreement, monitoring, investigating, and reporting on violations of international humanitarian law and human rights, including rape and other forms of sexual violence. Deng says while the government welcomes the extension of the UNMISS mandate for another year, it has reservations about certain language in the resolution.
When we said we welcome, we don't want to be seen in controversy with them, in conflict, because the language of the mandate is what the government have a lot of reservations.
The mandate also authorizes the anti UN peacekeepers to use necessary means to ensure effective, timely, and dynamic protection of civilians under the threat of physical violence, and to prevent, deter, and stop violence against the civilians, including politically driven violence, particularly in high-risk areas. It allows the peacekeepers to promptly engage any actor preparing or engaging in attacks against civilians, camps for the displaced, and sites where UNMISS is protecting civilians. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Still in Juba, a South Sudanese analyst says the move by the human rights law firm Global Rights Compliance to open a case at the International Criminal Court in The Hague against seven South Sudanese senior officials is long overdue. Jock Madut Jock says South Sudanese leaders have done very little to establish a hybrid court as required by the 2018 peace agreement. He says the victims of atrocities committed in 2013 and 2016 deserve justice.
The peace agreement had called for something called hybrid court for South Sudan, which meant that there would be a court made up of international lawyers and the South Sudan judiciary to look into cases of atrocities and abuses and human rights violations and cases amounting to crimes against humanity. So I think this story that is developing of a group investigating and potentially tabling a case against some individuals in the ICC is something that we all expected was bound to happen. And if it didn't, it would have been somewhat odd that such crimes could take place and the international law is not looking at them.
The government of South Sudan, or rather the transitional government of national unity, which is made up of the various groups that were fighting each other, have been arguing that if there is anything to do with justice in South Sudan, the peace agreement provides room for issues to do with the accountability. Why would you say the move to take the leaders to ICC is the right step?
Well, first of all, we know that the legal or judicial system in South Sudan is not independent at the moment. It is still at the mercy of the executive. And any judgments that they will be expected to do will most likely be influenced or watered down by political actions from the top, whether from the parties in the agreement or from the president himself. So I think there is really no trust in the local judicial system to give justice to the victims of these actions that have taken place. Actions related to conduct of the war itself in terms of violence, but also actions related to some individuals in positions of power using that power to promote war through corrupt practices and so forth.
What do you know about the establishment of the hybrid court? I know that you are well plugged in when it comes to issues with South Sudan. What are the reasons for the delay in establishing the hybrid court?
Well, first of all, the people who are in charge of implementing the peace agreement, and one of which is to establish the hybrid court, are not keenly interested in actually having such a body, because it will amount to them, the leaders themselves, setting up a system that will come after them. So they agreed to it because the whole world was on their neck for the atrocities committed in South Sudan. So they agree in principle. But in terms of actually implementing it, they are afraid that it could come for themselves, for these individuals who are in charge.
And how about the fact that South Sudan is not a signatory to the Rome Statute? And someone will argue that, you know, anything taken to ICC will end in ICC.
True. I mean, that is a valid argument. The idea that the ICC is not has not really borne credibility when it comes to trying African accused African leaders. On the one hand, the African, the other members of the IC of the Rome Statute are beginning to talk back their agreement to be on it, and so I think that is going to be a challenge both for the ICC itself to ensure that these people are taken, but also for the victims. Because usually the ICC cases drag for a long time.
Jokumadujok, a lot of South Sudanese who could be listening to me and you would say you are just repeating the song sung here in the West, that South Sudan will fail, they're supposed to be held accountable, and but the people on the ground are saying the contrary, that these leaders are trying their best.
Yeah, no, and unfortunately, no. I don't agree with anybody saying that the leaders of South Sudan are trying their best to implement the peace agreement. They have not. From 2018 onward, they were supposed to do certain basic steps towards the transition. The security arrangements, the repatriation of refugees and IDPs, doing the constitution, setting up electoral law, all these steps that were supposed to be done before the end of the interim period were not done, showing that the leaders of South Sudan are not genuinely trying to transition a country. They want the country to be in perpetual chaos, because it is chaos that pays for them. Chaos allow them to stay in power.
That's Jokumadu Jok, co-founder of the Juba-based SAD Institute. He spoke with me via WhatsApp from New York. South Sudan's National Ministry of Health is calling on parents to get their children vaccinated for measles following a recent outbreak. The ministry's director for preventive health services says more than 50 young children died from measles in several parts of the country since December 2022. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar has more from Juba.
The health ministry declared a measles outbreak in December last year. Dr. John Romunu, Director General for Preventative Health Services at the Health Ministry, says over 5,000 children below the age of 5 have been confirmed infected with measles in 6 of the country's 10 states.
From week 1 to week 9, these are epidemiological week. This year, we have recorded 5,433 suspected measles cases, of which 504 are laboratory confirmed. That makes a percentage of 9.3%. So still we are receiving suspected cases which are being tested. In our record, we have 53 deaths. But as you know, with measles, many parents or caretakers don't bring children to the health facilities. That gives us a case fatality ratio of 1%.
Romuno says measles cases have been reported in Western Equatoria, Lakes, Eastern Equatoria, Warap, Central Equatoria, and Jonglei states, as well as Ruweng administrative area. Measles is a highly contagious viral disease and one of the 6 killer diseases among children. Symptoms include fever and skin rashes. Dr. Rumuno says the ministry and other health partners in South Sudan are responding to contain the spread of the disease and save lives.
We are working with our partners and the World Health Organization country office to conduct reactive measles vaccination campaign. I'm happy to mention that, like in Tonj North, we have partners like CCM, AMREF, Islamic Relief. In Bor South, we have Live Well. And in Nirol, we have MedAir currently conducting vaccination and targeting about 30,000 children. And then we are also having a plan underway for a nationwide measles vaccination campaign. Hopefully, will start in April.
Dr. Romuno says South Sudan carries out measles vaccinations as part of routine children's immunization program against the six killer diseases. He says many parents and caregivers have been reluctant to bring children in for vaccinations, making it difficult for health officials to control the spread of the disease.
In 2022, we had vaccination campaign, but we only reached a coverage of 85% coverage. It should be at least 95% and above for you to really say you confer herd immunity to the population. I can confirm that our vaccination coverage for measles is not optimum.
Dr. Romuno says a big part of the solution in curbing the spread of measles lies in the hands of parents and caregivers.
Therefore, we advise parents to take their children to health facilities to get measles vaccine, and also to watch for symptoms of measles, which is fever, a high-grade fever, and then which will be followed by some kind of skin rash. So when parents see that, they should contact the nearest health worker at the nearest health facility for the child to receive treatment.
The World Health Organization says there were more than 140,000 measles deaths globally in 2018, mostly among children under the age of five, even though a safe and cost-effective vaccine is available. Measles vaccines are free. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, some women in South Sudan say they have benefited from life-saving skills. Find out why after the break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1-202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1-202-630-8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. A center in the South Sudan's capital, Juba, is working to empower women with skills for creating jobs. A coordinator of a group called Women Empowerment Program says her center trains women in various life skills like tailoring, and many have said they learn to support themselves after completing the training. Juliana Shiapai has more for VOA from Juba.
The Women Empowerment Program has been training women since 2009 to enable them acquire basic livelihood skills, earn a living, and reduce their vulnerability. Florence Ayikuru, coordinator for the Women Empowerment Network, says the center trains women for 9 months in acquiring tailoring skills they can use to earn a living.
One of the most difficult issues in South Sudan today is extreme poverty and food insecurity. And how can we together do this? We do this by our intervention in the livelihood system, where we train these women to provide for their families at the end of the day.
Jenti Senya, the first beneficiary who received training, at the Women Empowerment Center in 2009, is now able to knit and sew clothes. Senya says with the skills she learned, she sometimes gets opportunities to travel outside the country to train other South Sudanese women in refugee camps in Uganda.
So they are hajarigan makanadekois.
This is the reason why tailoring is good. I now stay alone, divorced for 6 years now. I have 3 children. The kids are studying. They eat. If they are sick, I am able to pay for treatment. Even if I'm staying just at home, I have workers who do for me the job. This is the goodness I have from learning tailoring skills and nothing but from it.
Iki Owen, who has been a tutor at the center for the past 2 years, says it's fulfilling to see women who are not educated willing to change their lives.
And other women, they are, you know, they are fast learners because they went to school and they have that knowledge of learning. So most of them in the class, when they come together because of the influence of others, you find them learning together. And they participate, they give answers together. They get motivations from their fellow friends.
Grace Pony, who received tailoring at the center in 2009, says since she learned tailoring, her life has never been the same and she is now financially independent.
It will be good if you are a jobless mother to come for tailoring training. It will help you a lot. There are many people who need help out there. Men are there, but there is no money. It will be nice to have two hands join, and if you learn tailoring, you will not need money or ask for money from others.
Ayikuru says her family background inspired her to continue supporting other women. Ayikuru says women who come back to the center several years after they were trained, Ayikuru says, women who come back to the center several years after they were trained often say their life have changed for the better, which gives her joy. She says, the Women Empowerment Center faces many challenges, including a limited learning space and a shortage of donors, especially following outbreak of COVID-19. Consequently, she says, sometimes women come back knocking on their doors because they want to learn, but she is forced to send them away with tears in their eyes because she cannot provide. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shapai in Juba.
We love to hear your comments on some of the issues in this broadcast. We start with a listener who sent us a voice message.
This is Peter Goethe Nyangma Dondon in Jonglei State, South Sudan. Creation of jobs is the only safe way to engage youth to cease from evil acts like child abduction, cattle rustling, and also it is the safe way to bring peace and stability to the country.
We heard from a number of you this week about President Kiir's decision to swap control of the Ministries of Defense and Interior. Mabora Lat Rengu in Rumbek of Lake State writes, the swapping of these two ministry positions of Minister of Defense and Minister of Interior between the SPLM-IG and SPLM-IO is of no concern to citizens. What citizens want from these two parties is to bring everlasting peace. Yai Dengtir in Juba says, hello, John Tanza and your team. As citizens of South Sudan, I would like to appeal to the government of the national unity to implement the revitalized peace agreement in letter and spirit, because the recent interchange of two ministries, defense and interior, and the relief of Angelina Teng have caused panic amongst the people of South Sudan. Therefore, it would be good if our president and his first vice president plus other signatories worked closely for the betterment of the country. Isaac Sabir Kamis of Yambio in Western Equatorial State says, hello, Nabil and Tanza. The international community should prioritize peace as first target to be achieved in South Sudan and follow on justice after relative peace have prevailed in the country. Otherwise, filing a case at ICC against certain individuals who are part of the peace implementation will just make the situation get worse. Let the issue of sanctions and ICC be paused when a political settlement is reached between the political leaders. Calling for more sanctions is like increasing the suffering of the people of South Sudan. Jacob Dior Machuang from Ural in Lake State writes, dear South Sudan in Focus, I heard that the holdout groups will start negotiations in Rome this coming Monday with the government. May all parties come to their senses and put aside their differences and end the conflict by signing a document for everlasting peace. We are tired of losing lives on a daily basis. South Sudan needs us all. Chol Philip Quang in Ball Town of Jungle Estate says, "Hello, VOA. I would like to offer my condolences and deepest sorry about the storms and in Malawi, which destroyed everything, including crops, animals, and human beings. I urge the international community to be generous in pledges of aid to all the people of Malawi affected by the disaster." Mading Malwal Aluang in Juba writes, "Our government should give youth an opportunity to contribute and offer their input. Allow active collaboration between adults and youth in integrating them into communities. Connect youth to policy efforts by including them in assessment of the current policies and potential policies. Encourage youth to identify their own interests and activities where they can make positive changes." Nelson Lobwa Solomon in Bidibidi Refugee Camp of Uganda says, "I'm urging the government to safeguard the civilians in the hands of the cattle keepers across the country because it's coming to the season of cultivation and citizens need to have a chance to work in their fields of agriculture. We are really tired of war and gunshots in South Sudan. We are one and let us love one another." Daniel Dut Dakbai from Rakmajok in Lake State writes, "Hello, VOA. On behalf of the 1st Barge of South Sudan National Police Service and on my own behalf, I would like to pass my condolences to the immediate family, relatives and friends and in-laws of General Achuel Titumadut, who passed on in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. General Achuel will be remembered as a true nationalist whose impartiality cemented our national foundation. May his soul rest in eternal peace." Moses Atiaba from Rumbek says, "Hello, VOA. I'm delighted to speak to all South Sudanese on this free education year 2023. Just as this period of goodwill is the time to thank President Salva Kiir and Awud Deng Achuel for the good opportunity in our nation this year. It's also a moment of deserved relaxation with our beloved ones, especially children. It's time for sharing. Thanks." Asiga, well, time is not on our side, and I'm afraid we are ending this with a song, Matakore by Mawa. Matakore, niade, yauzede, yama, matakore, niade, yauzede. Mama matakore dunia de ya uzede ya mama matakore dunia de ya uzede lele lele dunia de lezede lele lele dunia de maluzede dunia de fogo mashaki dunia de fogo lakabata dunia de fogo wajagelba dunia de fogo suata lakini bes kankoreja kelita masabara moyo wena lakini bes kangelba waja kelita asma ana biguna mama matakore dunia de ya uzede We have been listening to Mawa and the song Matakore. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer Kwame Ofori and engineer Kayla Williams, we wish you a good evening and thanks for taking time to be with us. Remember to join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.